VOA, the science edition of Press Conference USA. Here's your host, Rick Pantaleo.
Welcome to the science edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm Rick Pantaleo. Here in the United States, February is considered African American or Black History Month. This month-long event can trace its roots to 1926. Then, in the 1960s, with the Civil Rights Movement and increasing feelings of Black pride and identity, the celebration grew into Black History Month. It has become known as a celebration of the achievements by African Americans and the central role Blacks have had throughout U.S. history. President Gerald Ford officially recognized Black History Month in 1976, the year of the United States bicentennial. On today's Science Edition of Press Conference USA, we celebrate Black History Month as we discuss the many contributions Black inventors have made throughout the years. My guest for today's program is Keith Holmes, the founder and CEO of Global Black Inventor Research Projects, Incorporated. He is also author of the book, Black Inventors, Crafting Over 200 Years of Success, which highlights the work of Black inventors from over 70 countries. To write his book, Keith spent over 20 years devoted to researching innovations and inventions by Black inventors from 1769 to 2007. Keith, in your book, you do a thorough job of tracing Black inventors throughout the world from ancient to modern times. Looking back to the ancient past, can you talk about some of what you consider to be important inventions or concepts?
Well, I think the main thing that a lot of your listeners might not be aware of is that a lot of the things that we take for granted today, such as mathematics, agriculture, the use of animal husbandry, come from ancient Egypt, which is, of course, in part of Africa. And for most of us, we just think that the things that we have today are just things that came out of maybe Europe or maybe out of China or maybe out of the Middle East. But a lot of the things that we take for granted, such as paints, the use of wines, different seeds and grains that we eat right now, such as barley, wheat, those early crops were cultivated in ancient Egypt. And I give that onus in my book because I wanted to establish a procedure when you talk about inventions, that inventions are not something that were discovered in just one part of the world, but come out of the growth of different civilizations, and Egypt happens to be one of them. And then when you further down the line, when you look at the use of different instruments, such as the drum is a very prevalent instrument throughout the world. And when you look at the drum as it's been developed here in the United States, a lot of it has its roots in Africa. So I start my prefix in the beginning of the book by stating the fact that a lot of the things that we do take for granted today do come out of Africa, and that's something that I think a lot of your listeners might appreciate in terms of being able to identify a particular continent when it comes to the idea of innovation and inventions. And I'm not just saying that it totally came out of Africa. Europe played a very major role in the development of a lot of different things, of course, China and the Middle East. But a lot of times in the history books that we read, there's no credit given to the innovations or inventions that might have been developed out of ancient Africa or even modern-day Africa as we know it today.
One thing that I think a lot of people don't realize when they think of inventions and inventors is that many times a product, a device, a concept, whatever, takes a long time to develop. So something that could have started to develop, in, as you mentioned, in ancient Egypt, could take centuries to develop to get to a modern product we have today.
Exactly. As you know, mathematics plays a very big role in the development of buildings, you know, architects, roads. And some of those mathematic formulas were developed in ancient Egypt, Greece, and Rome. But their beginnings comes from ancient Egypt.
I see that you began your research into your book back in 1988. That's a long time ago. What inspired you to write it, and how long did it take you to write it? And with Global Black Inventors Research Projects, do you consider this to be a work in progress?
I do consider it to be a work in progress because it's ongoing. My discovery of inventors and innovators from Africa, the Caribbean, Central and South America, Europe, Canada, as well as the United States and the United Kingdom, has taken almost 30 years to find this information. But of course, with the advent of the internet and the use of a very good database system, such as looking up scientists and engineers of color, it's been far easier. But in 1988, I attended an event in Brooklyn called the African Street Festival. And at that event, there were a lot of booksellers from around the United States and outside. And I came across a book by a writer by the name of Burt McKinley. He wrote a book called Black Inventors of America. And I consider that one of the groundbreaking books when it comes to the idea of inventions by people of color or African Americans or black inventors. In that book, and just let me just paraphrase this for in that book, I quickly identified, it set off a light bulb in my head. And I went to my mentor, Dr. Rotten Nefer Amen, and I suggested, I want to sell this book in the neighborhood and on the street. And he said, no, why don't you write a book about black inventors? And of course, a light bulb went off. I started working on a PC. I went to the Schomburg Library in Harlem. I went to the New York Public Library in downtown Manhattan. And I started to research information about African-American inventors.
One question I like to ask of people who write a book that uses a lot of research is, were you surprised by anything that you found?
I was amazed. I didn't know the depth, and I didn't understand what I was getting involved in when I first started out. I, used a database of information that Schomburg had provided in reference to black engineers and scientists. And I quickly discovered that in the early ages of NASA, there were over 300 mathematicians, engineers, chemists who were working for NASA in the early missions of Mercury, Gemini, and the Apollo. And recently, of course, the movie Hidden Figures has come out with the fact that Katherine Johnson was the black woman who developed the mathematical formulas for the Mercury mission, the Gemini, the Apollo, and quiet as it's kept, she also did the mathematical calculations for traveling to Mars and back. And many of your listeners might not know about this.
One thing interesting about Katherine Johnson is the fact that back during the Mercury program, she was part of a group of African-American women. They called them computers, human beings called computers. And that John Glenn was getting ready for his first orbital flight into space. And even though they had mechanical computers working at the time, John Glenn said, in essence, unless Katherine takes care of the math on this, I'm not going up in that capsule.
Yeah, and that's, and history is now proven that the human computers, as they were known back then, played a very pivotal role in NASA as well as the exploration of space as we know it today.
Let's get back to a historical perspective, if we could, Keith. When Africans were brought west to the New World, they were taken to not only what became the United States, but the Caribbean as well as Central and South America, sowed the seeds of invention among them?
Well, it's interesting to bring up that point. From what I've been able to find, one of the things that's very clear, I mentioned earlier, is that the drum, as we know it today, you have bongos, you have the djembes, you have different drums that have been developed that have their roots in Africa. You also have dance, as we know it. You have the rumba, you have what we call African dance, you have jazz, modern dance. All of them have their influences by African rhythms. And then, of course, we have foods. We have okra, which was grown in Africa. We have peanuts, which was grown in Africa, which is now a part of a staple diet of many, not only Americans, but people around the world. So there's also different cloths, different colors, sounds. And what I found is that the influence, of course, in music when it comes to jazz, R&B, hip-hop, all of them have their African roots. And I think one of the things that I did find out, that hip-hop as we know it today, there's over 1,000 trademarks related to hip-hop and, of course, rap. But that has an influence in the advertising industry as well as branding. And many of our children, as well as the commercial advertisements that we see on television today, have jingles that are somewhat hip.
From a historical perspective, what effect do you think slavery and the years following, such as the Jim Crow era, had on early African-American inventors? What were some of the other difficulties they faced in developing their inventions?
I think one of the major difficulties they faced, of course, was funding. Educational opportunities to develop their skills in terms of math and mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, which we take for granted today that you can just go to school and get those skills. But one thing that I did find in the discovery of these inventors and their inventions, they had a drive. And I think that comes out of the American experience where you do not give up if you have an idea. And I think what I was able to find is when you come across men like Garrett A. Morgan, who didn't have a great educational background, but he had a dream and he had an idea. And one day, and just a quick story, he observed a very bad accident between a car and a horse-drawn carriage. The accident was so bad they had to put the horse down in that spot. And that had such a dramatic effect upon him that what he did was come up with the idea of a traffic light. Now, his traffic light was a little different than the other traffic lights that had been developed. And what it did, it had a stop-go using colors, red and green. And as we know today, without a traffic light globally around the world, which is universal, many of the pedestrians, cars, and trucks that motor along the different highways and streets, there would be accidents that would be taking place, you know, much more than they are taking place today. So that had a great impact. And then when we talk about the use of peanuts, when the South was growing cotton, what is, was known as King Cotton, they grew so much cotton, the question became, you know, what are we going to do with this cotton? And what is one thing about cotton, what it does, it depletes the nutrients out of the soil. And Dr. George Washington Carver, one of the first African Americans inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, advised the Southern farmers to grow peanuts. And by growing peanuts, they would replace the nutrients that had been lost from the depletion of the valuable nutrients in the soil. The question became, well, what are we going to do with all these peanuts? And from his idea, he was able to come up with over 300 different products from the peanut, so much so that the Senate passed a special bill raising the tariff on peanuts imported from other countries. And the United States is one of the leading growers of peanuts in the world.
Throughout the years, African blacks also settled in other parts of the world, as well as from Europe to Asia to Oceania. How did settling in these countries with such a wide range of different cultures and peoples impact black inventors and, of course, vice versa?
With the advent of Africans coming to the United States, the Caribbean, Central and South America, is that they had the knowledge of cultivating grasses into grain crops, cram, maize, millet, sorghum, teff, irrigation, African rice, Ethiopian oats. And those agricultural products, we can assume that the transference of these men, women, and children to the West, they brought with them that knowledge. Some of the Africans were herbalists. Some were carpenters, tinsmiths. Some knew how to work forge iron. Some knew how to sew and work with cloth and dyes. So the assumption that the Africans didn't bring anything with them is far from the truth. And I think one of the things that we as people here in the United States have to understand, we brought with us different set of skills. In the Carolinas, the women are known for their basket weaving. In South Carolina, of course, Georgia, and those small islands, as well as the coastal region, which where rice was grown, the Africans had a great understanding of how to grow agricultural products. So they brought this knowledge with them. They also brought with them, you know, how to make bricks, sinking well shafts, earthwork systems, how to build houses and irrigation systems and buildings. Beverages, they were familiar with coffee, cola, sorrel, sorghum, beer, and millet beer. Ceramics, pots, plates, and bowls. They also had their own development of funerary rites, birth rites, when a baby is born, when someone dies. In New Orleans, they celebrate someone dying by having a big party. All of that has its influences from Africa, and I think that's something that we just can't forget. With fibers, we understood, of course, basket weaving, string instruments, corded furniture, mats, hats, nets, shields. When the Africans were first brought here to these shores in the United States, they brought with them a plethora of skills that we just can't take for granted. And it was a very important foundation in the building of America as we know it today.
Let's take a break now. You're listening to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm Rick Pantaleo. Here's a reminder that Press Conference USA is available for free download from our website, voanews.com/PCUSA, and from many streaming services such as Apple Podcasts. I'd also like to tell you that a new VOA English app for both Android and Apple devices has been developed, and we encourage you to download and use them. You can find them at the Google Play Store for Android or Apple's App Store for their devices. We also hope you'll get in touch with us through either Facebook or Twitter at Carol Castiel, VOA, or by sending us an old-fashioned email to PCUSA@VOANews.com. Now, back to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. Today, in celebration of African American History Month, we're discussing the many contributions Black inventors have made throughout the years. My guest for today's program is Keith Holmes, the founder and CEO of Global Black Inventor Research Projects Incorporated. He is also author of the book Black Inventors, Crafting Over 200 Years of Success, which highlights the work of Black inventors from over 70 countries. Keith, I noticed in many parts of your book you focus on Blacks earning patents from all over the world. Why do you consider the granting of patents to be such an important tool in measuring the success of Black inventors?
Why it is important is because the advancement of science and technology is based on inventions. When you talk about the computer as we know it today, the 1 gigahertz chip that was developed by Mark Edward Dean, who was a co-inventor of that chip, has changed the way we do our daily tasks. The use of the very phones that we are using right now are dependent on the 1 gigahertz chip and beyond. The banking systems, in the old days when you wanted to cash your check and you wanted to withdraw funds, you had to wait till that check cleared X amount of days. That has all changed because of the computing power that we have now. The very microphones that we're using for talking on this interview, as well as in entertainment and different lectures that take place around the world, is a development of different microphone systems developed by James West, who worked for AT&T. He has over 100 patents. So technology, the invention of different devices and different products, have a major impact on how we conduct our daily business and go about the tasks that we need to accomplish on a daily basis.
Can we take a look at some of what you consider to be the most important or even famous African-American inventors and their inventions? Everyone thinks that Thomas Edison invented the electric light bulb, but without the work of his African-American assistant, Louis Latimer, it may have taken more time, if ever, for such an important invention to be invented. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's important. Thomas Edison had over 8,000 patents. He had the Edison Brain Trust, a number of different inventors, engineers, chemists working for his company in West Orange, New Jersey. But one of the things I think that Edison ran into a problem with was the filament that was being used for the light bulb. And that filament plays a very important part in terms of the lifespan of a light bulb. And it was Louis H. Latimer, who found the filament that would be the proper filament to use to extend the life of the light bulb, and he filed for that patent in 1882. And he did, as you said, he didn't receive the kind of credit he should have, but he was working with Thomas Alva Edison. And I think that what we have to realize, particularly in today's time, you've got to give credit where credit is due. No, he did not develop the light bulb in itself, but the filament in the light bulb is what gives life to the light bulb. And all the light bulbs that are used currently in the world today use that filament.
What about other important products and concepts that may not have been invented without the contributions of African Americans?
Well, Jan Massengler, who came from Suriname, South America, who migrated here to the United States, he worked in the shoe industry as a laborer. But he came up with an idea, concept. Now, I want you to imagine that the shoe lasters back in the 1800s and early 1900s, a good shoe laster could do maybe 10 or 15 shoes a day, and that's laying the sole and tacking the shoe down. But it was Jan Massengler who developed a device that would allow a shoe laster to do anywhere from 150 to 700 pairs of shoes a day. That revolutionized the shoe industry. It also put the city that he came from on the map in Massachusetts. And as we know today, We can go shopping and get any kind of shoes we want. We don't have to worry about price, cost. We don't have to worry about the kind of quality of work that's done with the shoe. But that Shoe Laster, as well as four other devices that he developed, were very important to the shoe industry as we know it.
Since you mentioned patents in your book, Keith, can you tell me about Thomas L. Jennings, who was the first African-American to receive a patent back in 1821?
Thomas L. Jennings, 1821, Virginia, developed what was called a dry scouring process, which is commonly known as dry cleaning today. And it's interesting you bring up that very good point. In 2015, he was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. That's how important his invention was.
You talked about Mark Dean and his contributions to the development of the computer. You talked about the 1 gigahertz chip. Didn't he develop a system that allowed for the introduction of other peripheral computer equipment like printers and such?
Yes, he did. And he worked on what was called the IBM 4341. And it's interesting you bring that up. I have a strong computer background. I actually took computer programming courses as well as system design courses back in the late 1970s. And I actually had an opportunity of working in a data center back in 1978 and 77. Those machines were as big as probably the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 8K memory. The IBM men would walk in with engineers and technicians would walk in with their suits and ties. And they had schematics that they had to use to diagnose a problem in terms of the machines. But once Dr. Mark Edward Dean developed these other peripheral devices, as well as his other invention. He had close to 200 inventions with IBM, International Business Machine. And those developments has led to the modernization and design of scaling down the size of the machines. And I'm sure you can remember the PCs back in the 1980s, how big they were. They had, you know, maybe 4 megahertz in terms of speed. They were 8 megahertz. And then they quickly, exponentially grew over the years. So, yes, Mark Edward Dean has played a very important and pivotal role in the development of different peripheral devices, as well as the co-inventor of the 1 gigahertz chip.
It's interesting that you mentioned the evolution of computer technology. Like, for example, what we had back in the early 1980s with the IBM PC can't even touch what you're holding in your hand right now, which is an Apple iPhone.
That's correct. I went into a store about 2 or 3 years ago with my youngest son, and he turned to me and asked me, "What is that?" It was a typewriter. We don't even think about going to a typewriter to type up a paper. We use our phones. We use different computer systems that have been developed over the years to do all of our typing now. That's how much things have been revolutionized by the use of computers in the world today.
Let me move on to Dr. George Carruthers. He's an astrophysicist. Talk to me about some of the work that he has done.
Well, he's also inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, and he developed an ultraviolet camera that was used on the moon. He was 17 years old when he began working with NASA on the development of this device. And that's pretty amazing, the fact that he was a young African-American scientist with a brilliant brain as well as an illustrious career in front of him. And for his device, which is currently still on the moon, I don't know if it's still working right now, but it was taken by the Apollo mission to take different pictures of the moon. They used his device.
You were talking a little earlier about Dr. George Washington Carver and his work with peanuts. The man had a major impact on society back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, not only for his work in science and invention, but had impacts on American culture and history as well. Can you tell us about that?
You know, I've recently been getting in contact with the different school systems around the United States that house and use his name. His influence in the area of agricultural-based products. Henry E. Ford was very interested in the work that Dr. Carver was doing, so much so that he did ask and offered Dr. Carver 6 figures to come work for Ford. And Carver, of course, was a very humble man and turned it down. And might I say also that if we're going to do a film about African-American inventors or scientists, one of the first films, because Dr. Carver was one of the first African-Americans to be inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, that film should be about his life and the work that he did at Tuskegee. But getting back to your question, when Dr. Carver, his influence influence in terms of different areas. He began to realize you could use vegetable oil as fuel. What we know today as ethanol comes back from the research that Dr. Carver did back in the 1930s and 20s. Also, the use of agricultural-based products. He was able to develop different plastics using peanuts and other products that could be used in cars and other different products. And so much so that when we look at a car today, a lot of different things that we use, it has an influence of plastic being used. Some of them come from agricultural-based products. Some of them come from, you know, different petroleum-based products. So Dr. Carver's influence not only affected us in terms of the use of peanuts, but also as well as in a number of other different things that we just take for granted. And I think it is my opinion that if we're going to do a film about an African-American scientist or inventor, he should be the first one.
One thing I don't want to forget, and I want to make sure we get this in, is the contributions of African-American women as well, from Sarah Good, the first African-American woman to receive a U.S. patent. What can you tell us about her?
Well, from what I've been able to research, she was from Connecticut. You know, the use of an ironing board is very important in our household. I don't know so with the new generations now in terms of them using the ironing board. I'm just being funny about that. But I still use an ironing board to iron my clothes. And she developed an ironing board that was quite unique, and it helped a lot of women who had to use the iron to iron their clothes as well as maybe their husbands or other family members. It's used in the dry cleaning business, of course, back in those days, you know, because a lot of things were sent out to the cleaners or to the laundry in terms of being prepared properly for, you know, businessmen or for when you're going to church or different other special events. What I would like to focus on is Sandra Baylor, who worked for IBM, who developed a number of 10 patents used by the International Business Machine, which is now, of course, known as IBM. And her development in terms of a number of different patents related to computer played a very important role in the computer age.
Tell us about Dr. Patricia Bath.
Dr. Patricia Bath was born and raised and went to school in New York. She developed a laser scope that was used in glaucoma. And you know, glaucoma has a major impact around the world. She developed 10 different devices. She was nominated to be inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, she wasn't. She died last year. And I am suggesting to your listeners, and as well as those people have influence, that she should be renominated to go into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, because as it stands now, there are no African-American women inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. And if we're going to be talking about women in inventions and innovations, I think it's important to impress to your listeners that STEM, as we know today, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, is not something limited to one group. You know, a lot of times when we talk about inventors, we're only talking about men, but women have played a very important role in terms of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And I'm not just talking about African-American women. I'm talking about women of color, and I'm also talking about women from Europe, women in the United States, Canada, Central and South America, of course, Middle East, and Africa, and Australia, and the Far East.
Keith Holmes, you are the author of Black Inventors, Crafting Over 200 Years of Success. I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts and insights.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. And your listeners, if they're very interested in getting a copy of our book is available on Amazon as well as through iTunes and Google Play.
You also have a website.
The website is www.globalblackinventor.com.
That was Keith Holmes, the founder and CEO of Global Black Inventor Research Projects Incorporated. He's also the author of the book, Black Inventors, Crafting Over 200 Years of Success, which highlights the work of black inventors from over 70 countries. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this science edition of Press Conference USA. I'd like to thank our technician, Justin Thwaites. This is Rick Pantaleo reminding you to be sure to join Carol Castiel next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.